and welcome to Casting Nets Podcast. I am Will Harley, one of the hosts of the show. And before we get going in our show for today, as we focus our attention on some wonderful topics, and Pastor Winsberger, Don Winsberger, will be leading that, we do want to have our disclaimer. This show is about us thinking out loud. It doesn't express the views or the opinions of our employers all the time. And most of the time, it may not even express our own opinions because, as I said before, we are just thinking out loud. So don't get upset. And if it does get you upset, turn the podcast off. Hit pause, settle down. Heck, just go and do something else. But if you would like to talk, we would love to have a conversation with you. So with that, on with the show.
I'd like to welcome you to the latest podcast of Casting Nets. I'm Pastor Don Winsberger from Zion and Cologne, together with Pastor Will Harley from Trinity and Winter. We are the two pastors whose faces are just perfect for podcasting. And
not visible.
and we're here today to talk about a topic that is relevant to Christianity today. Relevant in our daily lives, and it's about the topic of worldview. And Pastor Harley, as we were talking about these things before, I really appreciated your explanation of a worldview. Would you take some time here to explain to our people, our listeners, what a worldview is?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that makes it really difficult is when we're as pastors, you know, sometimes we can start using terminology that most people don't unpack or people don't understand because it's what we use. It's not what normal people would use. Worldview, I think, is one of those things. It's kind of a scholarly term, but essentially what it is, and you can look it up online, you can Google it if you want to Google it, but essentially a worldview is really a pattern of ideas that we have that functions fundamentally in how we interact with the questions of life. So, in other words, it's the pattern of ideas that we use to figure out why we're here. You know, what is the meaning of life? It's the pattern of figuring out, you know, what's right, what's wrong, who is God, you know, do I need God? It's not just dealing with the overarching life issues, but it also deals with how we then interpret that reality. So, the things that happen around us, our worldview interprets those ideas, interpret how do we react to that reality? What are we seeing or thinking we're seeing within that reality? And then again, it leads us even forward into saying, what do I want my reality to be in the future? And how is that going to play out? And how am I going to create it?
Okay, thank you. I think that's very enlightening. There are all sorts of worldviews. We talk about ours, which many people call the Christian worldview. Would you care to explain that Christian worldview a little bit? Explain that briefly.
Well, you know, that is, you could say an overarching Christian worldview is something as simple as saying, you know, you have the scriptures and you look to the scriptures to find point and purpose in life and ultimate meaning. But that really is kind of an empty idea of that worldview, because within the Christian church, there's so many different flavors, denominations that I think that worldview becomes skewed. For us in the Lutheran church, I would like to say, at least for the pastors and for 20% of our members, our worldview is centered on the gifts of Christ. It is really centered on what is it that Christ has done, not in what we do. It is centered in the gospel proclamation, the promises of God, that he will never leave us or forsake us, that everything that we have is a gift from him, that we can now, because of him and because of his salvation won on the cross, we can return to him and engage in without any to-do or enoughness or And there's a lot of other terms that we're throwing out there. But any of those other things that would maybe get in the way of living life to its fullest in Christ. So again, I would say, you know, I would like to say in the Lutheran Church, the worldview is seen through the sacraments. It's seen through baptism, where through water and word, God claims us as his own, changes our mind and heart, and makes it through the Holy Spirit to will and want what God wants. Through communion, where we receive in body and blood and bread and wine, the very love of our Savior for us, where he finds us again and he says, this is for you, forgiveness. You've done numerous things that nobody would forgive, but I forgive. And I set you back on this path to embrace these gifts that I have given to you. Now, that is not for every denomination. There are denominations out there that focus less on those gifts of God and focus more on those commandments of God. And there they become more of a God of vengeance, a God of he has told me I must, therefore I must, and if I don't, maybe I'm not a Christian. And that is a worldview in and of itself, in a smaller capacity of the Christian worldview, but one all the same.
Probably the majority of Christianity takes that viewpoint. At least talking about the visible Christian church.
Yeah, I think if you talk about the visible Christian church, and in other words, people who say I'm Christian but might not understand what that means, I would say you're right. And I would give them, I'm not giving them a free pass, but I'm going to say that the reason they do that is because of that sinful nature inside us all, right? That sinful nature inside us all looks at the to-do list and says, this is what I need to do. I mean, God has given us the Ten Commandments. I have to do this. I have to live a certain way. I have to perform a certain thing. I have to view everything in life as a code, as a ranking, right? Everything in life becomes my ranking. So my worldview is, what is most pressing now? And now let's just say for Christians in their worldview that the majority of them probably have a worldview of God and Christ take a very high seat. But I don't think that he takes the number one seat and that everything in their world and in their purview flows from him. I think they think he's up there, but he's up there with family and he's up there with sports and so they're all up there. And when I look at that, I'm like, ooh, you know, God is good. God is great. God is wonderful. But look at this. He has given me this sport to engage in, or he's given me this family to engage in, or this vacation time that I've worked so hard for to engage in. And now that becomes part of my worldview, right? That I view these things as equal to, or a benefit, equal in benefit to my Lord and Savior.
And, you know, greater Christianity isn't the only group that struggles with that. We and the people in our pews struggle with that too.
I think they're going to struggle. I mean, of course, pastors struggle with standing up and proclaiming the gospel. I mean, how many times can you tell people, put on your Christ blood glasses and look through the blood of Christ at your world around you? I mean, eventually, you start to think, I'm really tired of always taking people to the cross, but yet that's what we need, because our worldview is seen in the shadow of the cross. But I think where maybe our problem lies as Christians is that if the scriptures were the only thing that were influencing us in the world around us, I think our worldview would be duplicitous in a sense. Our sinful nature would still be our sinful nature.
Yep.
And then we would have what God says, what the scriptures say. But I don't think that's it. I think our sinful nature is a little bit more conniving than that. And I think that our sinful nature introduces into our society and into our community more worldviews, or our thought of more worldviews, than just this is what I want and this is what God says. And maybe you're a little bit better equipped right now to talk and unpack that a little.
Okay, because I was, as you were talking here, you brought to my mind about the different non-Christian worldviews that we encounter not only in the world, but in our small part of it. A worldview that we see around, that I think our people see, that we see, and we don't even realize we're always seeing it, especially our kids in school. There's two of them. Around here, first of all, the first one is, would be pantheism, spiritualism, however you want to define it, because we have such an abundant Native American a population in this area and in our state.
Can you unpack, and you know, like I said, because we're both pastors and I know what you're saying when you say pantheism.
Okay.
But maybe our people don't know what that is.
Pantheism is this belief, and this isn't a brand new teaching. This is something that's been around for millennia, almost since the beginning of time, a deception of the devil, that that God, as significant as God is in everything. That and so it leads to all sorts of different twists and turns to where God is, that God is in everything, and it even comes to be that the divine is in us.
Now that would be different, and we probably shouldn't confuse that with the doctrine of the church of one of the powers of our God being omnipresent.
No,
and so being everywhere at once is not the same
as being in everything.
Okay, all right.
And you know, our children, you know, we get, well, for example, in school every year, usually in the fall, or maybe it's even during Native American month in February, there's either a medicine man or some tribal chieftain that's brought in to talk about their practices, their heritage practices, which are really religious in belief. And this comes up to part of it, maybe to throw in a little bit more. Another worldview today that kind of goes along with this is a worldview that all religions are equally valid,
which would be almost a pluralistic.
Yes, pluralistic.
Very pluralistic. You know, that everybody is right. We're all going towards the same place.
Yes. Which again, you know, looking at in, you know, maybe trying to dissect this a little bit, we can talk about what these worldviews are that we encounter out there. Another one is naturalism, which basically goes where science is the religion, science is the God, and really there is no God. Everything happens by chance. And if there is no scientific explanation, in quotation marks, or you can't reason it out in your head, then it's not true, and so it finds itself. We find our people in conflict. Okay, science is science. It's all academic and educational, and it's proven. And look at, and then they struggle with looking at Christianity. Well, that's a matter of faith. There's nothing really to prove it. And so our own people struggle with the fact that, okay, I know what I believe, but that's inferior to what I find in the textbooks.
So would it be fair enough to say, I guess, would it be fair enough to say that really our worldview is religion? And I want to just sort of maybe hedge that a little bit and say, you know, it's not religion as we know religion, as in like official a religion, here's a church for it or a temple for it or something like that. But the fact that our worldview, the way that we approach and understand the world around us and the thoughts that we have about the world around us really revolve around a core belief, which is religion, right?
Yes.
And you know, we all know from, well, you and I know, and we've tried to teach our people this as well, that when God created us, he created us to be worshipers, right? We worship something. And so when we fell in Genesis chapter 3, we have the record of the fall. What was taken from us? Well, that which we worship, right? And so now we have this void that we always try to fill with something to worship. And would it be fair enough to say that our worldview then is framed in that void? That what are we filling our lives with? The ideas we fill our lives with become the worldview.
Wasn't it, excuse me, I'm trying to think of the man. I just had sorry, it'll come to me, but one of the ancient philosophers said that something to this effect, that every human being has a God-shaped void inside them.
Well, that would have been Aristotle or Socrates.
They might have touched on it, but it's not Descartes. I just had done a devotion on this for meditations not too long ago. But it's that point you're talking about, that the God-shaped void, and we try and we fill it with, and our sinful nature tries to fill it with everything except the right thing.
And I think that's where when we talk about worldview, you know, this is where our sinful nature decides to really rear its ugly head. You can say that the sinful nature is inverted upon itself, right? And it makes itself the God. It wants to make ourselves the God of what we view around us. But it is a little bit more sneaky in its approach, because it really approaches things by saying, my worldview is seen through the lens of community. My worldview is seen through the lens of the goodness of nature. That's pantheism, right? My worldview is seen on the hard facts of mathematics and science. My worldview is seen, and so what do we have? We have modern day philosophers that we call, scientists who deal with black hole theory or Big Bang theory or whatever else. They're the modern day philosophers, right? They're the modern day people who frame our look at what is the meaning of life. Well, there's no meaning because we're just animals. Well, what's our point and purpose? Get as much stuff as you can, because when you die, you're not going to be able to do anything. But there's still that void inside of us that says, what happens when we die? And so there's those religions out there that say, well, you know, it's based on how you've lived. And so there's this idea of like the nirvana, we're heading towards nirvana, you know, or this idea of reincarnation that's out there in Eastern mythology and religion that says, you know, how you live your life will depend how you come back. And we are on this perpetual road to hopefully get somewhere better and ascend to something better. And so my worldview now is, and it's actually kind of an interesting thing that we're talking about, is because now my worldview is, I have to do this for you, because it's karmic, and that becomes my worldview.
Yes.
And the funny thing is I actually was sitting in the hospital with my wife the other day, and I took a picture of it because I'm going to use it in a sermon somewhere. I don't know exactly what, but it says we are legally bound to help our community. In the hospital, it said we are legally bound to help our community. But this is that worldview, right? That that's part of this worldview, that now I am contracted. I have a contract to help you. My contract is to be here to do such and such a thing. And this can, and I think this can work its way within into the church too, because not in the Lutheran church necessarily. The Lutheran church has a call. We have a call for our pastors, right? A divine call. The Lord calls through his people that the people would love you, and you would love the people, and you would serve them, right? But there are other denominations that really deal with a contract. Pastor or the preacher is contracted to XYZ, do whatever. And so then they complain, well, he's not visiting, and he's not coming to sit by my bedside while I'm passing away. Well, why not? That's not in my contract, right? I'm not paid, in quotes, to go and do that. Not that I don't care, but I really don't care, you know. And it's that kind of idea. Whereas sometimes I think our worldview can be skewed in many respects, because we start thinking in those terms of me first, and that comes back down to those other views. They sort of seep into our Christian well-being, and they say, well, is it Christian to think of myself first and then well. Yeah, it can be, right? You know, if I'm not healthy and well and feeling good, I can't help anybody else. And God would really want me to be healthy and well so I can help someone else. And so it's me first.
Yep. You know, talking along that line, and I'm thinking about all of the different worldviews that they are, all of the ones outside of the biblical Christian worldview. And all of them have either, they all kind of come back. They all have something in common. They all kind of turn back into each other. I think one, as we're talking about these things, I think another one that I see the visible Christian church giving into, I see our people struggling with, because and it's something that that Sproul, R.C. Sproul had calls a moralistic therapeutic deism.
All right, well, which you're gonna have to take us through that.
Yes, and I'm going to thank you, because I, again, sorry for the $5,000 word to explain a nickel concept. But what that is that God just wants me to be wants us to be happy and nice to other people. He intervenes in our affairs only when we call on him to help us out. This idea about being, you know, really this, we're, and it's a mixture with naturalism, where, you know, where it comes down to morality. Really, don't force your morality on anybody. We be nice to everybody. And so that's why we see things today. We even see in churches, okay, we've got human sexuality, and we've got alphabet soup trying to describe all of the countless different number of genders that people can choose. We look and we see same-sex marriage and that being accepted in the church. We're told, okay, if you have a belief, you're entitled to it, but keep it to yourself if it's not going to make somebody feel good about themselves. And this is really the society that we live in today. Even out here in the middle of wonderful South Dakota, where we still see a lot of traditional values, we see our people facing this.
And if they're facing this, how is and that, I think you're right. And if they are facing this, if they're facing this idea that morally I want to do what's best for other people, really, is that a moral? Is that really a moral reaction? And I guess I come back down to saying, you know, morally, I should let my children learn some hard lessons in life, right? Morally, we want our, sometimes the best lessons are learned the tough way, right? Does that mean that when my son, when he was a child and was approaching a hot stove, that I just, he'll learn? I mean, is that morally, I mean, that's about what we're saying, right?
Yep.
What we're saying is that if there is something that is, it is against the way that the natural order was founded by our Creator, and it's against the very things that are going to be good and wholesome for the community by and large, don't we think that we are morally obligated to use the term that they're using in government right now, to be a whistleblower?
Yep.
And to say, wait a second, hold on. Wouldn't you think that would be what would be moral?
See, that, yeah, you know, and you bring up a very interesting point about that, because really, when you look at this, all of these different worldviews, there's always, when one takes and dissects it just a little bit, you see it fall in on itself. It's like a house of cards that can't stand. It gets a breeze, and then all of a sudden, it falls in. It's like it says in Scripture, there is a way that seems wise to a man, but in the end it leads to death.
Proverbs. and what is that? And I actually had that written down here. I wanted to bring it up, Proverbs 16. And that is, and what is the way? It is the way that seems right to us is the way that our sinful nature has said, me first. Don't get involved with other people. Don't really care. We'll mask our caring, right? We'll mask it under the disguise of tolerance. We'll mask it under the disguise say, I am being so loving because I'm letting you destroy yourself, and I don't have to be around it.
Or we'll mask it the other way, where we'll say, okay, I'm going to share Christ, and then all it is just, I'm going to give you food. I'm going to give you shelter. I'm going to drive you around. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you all these. I'm going to give you everything except Christ.
Yeah. The empty works of, wow, I sure did a good thing, but I forgot to mention the most important thing. And I guess even in the worldview of a Christian, that can be something that is, I've done my Christian duty because I gave them a Bible, or I told them to pray, or I told them, Pastor, they need to be in church. You know, those are worldviews too, the worldview of the law. I have to. But again, is that truly Christian? Is that
yep.
scriptural? And I would say no. Like we started off the conversation with the Christian worldview. A Christian worldview isn't the law. A Christian worldview is the gospel of it is done in Christ for you.
And that's where we always get back to. I like how things that we have been studying here for a long time, and it gets back to, and really this seems to be a common theme for us as God's people, we always have to come back to Christ. If we don't, we have completely, utterly failed. And so once again, as Christians, as we're sharing our faith, as we're concerned for the kingdom, as we're concerned for those around us. And so once, you know, we've talked about this before. We talk, somebody hasn't, we've got a neighbor who isn't churched or whatever. And if we don't come and say, Pastor, you need to visit them, we talk to them and say, you need to be there. And instead, why is it that we go to the default law and it's just so simple, where we talk to these people instead of saying, you need to be there. When we talk about this is what it does for me,
but
this
again,
is what the Lord does for me here. This is why it's important to me.
Sure. But again, Christ is a stumbling block. And so when we present in life, when we present Christ, it's a crapshoot. It really is. It's okay, I'm going to get two reactions. They're going to look at me and say, well, you're crazy, and shut the door on my face. Or they're going to say, I have some questions about this Christ person, and now I feel inadequate to answer. And so it's so much easier and our sinful nature plays off this 100%. It's so much easier to make a mandate and say, well, see, I changed them because I told them, but we fail to realize that maybe you might see an immediate result because of fear or guilt or shame, but it doesn't change who they are, because eventually what is the law going to do? The law is only going to harden their heart. Or it will leave them in so much shame that they eventually will say, I have no hope at all for anything. And so we come back down to...
Which is where every other worldview leads.
Absolutely. Every other worldview leads, I haven't done enough. Therefore, at the end of life, I say to myself, I sure hope. I sure hope I've done enough. I sure hope I lived a good life. God, whoever the God is up there must accept me because... Look at what I made some mistakes, but I covered them up with X, Y, Z. And really it comes back down. I was reading a book. It was a story, but it was about karma. and really it was an interesting insight into this idea of the good things that we do to outweigh the bad things that I've done. And that really those good things aren't so good because I'm only doing them for myself so that I don't
yep.
do the bad.
And kind of, you know, and you right there, just to tell our listeners too, that word karma, a lot of our people know what that concept is, but you just explained it. Again, what the that theory that, okay, what I do comes back to me.
Yeah.
The bad I do comes back to me, yeah. The good I do. And so I want to do more good, so more good comes back to me.
Absolutely. Now put this, how the Lord turns that upside down, right? And how the Lord turns that upside down is so beautiful, because all the good I do is for my detriment. And all the bad I do doesn't come back to me at all. It's on Christ. And
yep.
he took it all. He took it all onto himself. And so I kind of think in the real, and I'm once again going to say it, yep, I'm prejudiced, the Lutheran worldview focuses on what Christ has done. It focuses on his gifts to us. And I'm a firm believer, and you can believe it or not, or our listeners can believe it or not, but I'm a firm believer that when God gives you the gifts of Christ and word and sacrament, he makes you more human. He makes you the people that our community truly wants to see.
Amen.
and that our love for people is a pure love for people because Christ first loved us. And I truly have an outlook of, I want to give you these gifts too. It's not for me. It's not going to benefit me in any way, shape, or form, but I want to give them to you because I have more than enough. In fact, I keep getting more, and I can now give them over to you.
It's hard to get back to that too, because a lot of times too, when we do reach out and things like that, and we help those who need it, I can't count the number of times I've heard from parishioners in the ministry, well, a fat lot of good it did that pastor because we don't see him around church. And I remind them, that's not why we do that. The gospel, our faith, the good news, we share that without any expecting anything in return. It's not a conditional gospel.
Absolutely. And I like how you said it. It's not conditional. We don't share that we would receive.
Yes.
We've already received, therefore we share.
Yes.
Right? What are the promises? The promises of Christ that say, the inheritance is yours already. That heaven is my home. No one's going to take that away. If I share it with somebody, it's all of a sudden not going to be like, oh no, I'm not going to have enough heaven.
And God gives without any expectation of return, of anything in return, because we have nothing to give him in the first place.
In fact, he expects he's going to have to continue to give you more.
Yes, yes.
In fact, he expects that you are going to be a complete and utter failure again. And now we don't want to, and we go back to Romans, right? We don't keep sinning so that grace may abound. Of course not. That's not what we're saying. But the worldview of saying that my point and purpose, the way that I look at other people around me and the way that I look at the future that I want to have come and the reality in which I live, it is a gift, right? And that only, and it's not a burden. It's not a to-do list. It's not a, if I don't complete this or that, then what happens? It is, I'm free to engage. I'm free to engage people. I'm free to meet them where they are. And I am free to proclaim a gospel message that will be a stumbling block. I recognize this, but it is also life-giving and life-sustaining.
And I appreciate that so much, Will, because really, you brought things full circle and really actually kind of to where I wanted to end up, so where our listeners understand why are we talking about this. I think it's important for us to understand the world views that are around us, or at least as listening as we talk, because as we hear those world views and listen, we see how they depart from Christ. And we see how they fall apart. And so it gives us an opportunity as we listen and to come back and say, okay, but this is what Jesus has done for us. This is what Jesus gives to us. This is where Jesus will lead us. Again, away from the law to the gospel. It's not contradictory. It's not blind faith like a lot of people say, where people believe in foolishness, although the world look at Christianity and calls it foolishness. Sure. But there is a rhyme and a reason behind what Jesus says and gives in Scripture and in the sacraments. And that's always where we want to come back. That is in our life as God's people, that's where we always want to end up. With our spouses, with our children, with our family members, with our congregation members, with our neighbors, with our coworkers, everybody that we come into contact with.
And where is that? And how's that going to play out? And if you think about it, in a world filled, we use the word world again, but that idea of a worldview that everyone else is sharing, what do we see pretty much promoted and most common? Hatred, right?
Yes.
People are, and they're saying, oh, Christians are the leader of this, but we're not. I mean, really, what Christians, and I would say true Christians, but we'll just say Christians, what we are promoting is love. you know what? If I go over to the person who is part of that soup of gender soup, and they don't know exactly what they are, yes, do I believe that it's unnatural and God speaks out against it as a sin? I do. But it's not any greater sin than anything I've ever done in my life, and it's not any less forgiven than any sin that I've ever done in my life. You know, it just, we in our mind have put these grades and said, oh, I have to hate them because of this that they've done. Wait a second. What makes you so great and glorious that you think you've not done something that is equally as bad in God's eyes? I mean, any breaking
of the commandments. And that can be an obstacle to somebody speaking up too, because the devil says, well, who are you to talk to this person? And so we clam up.
Yeah, but you know, as the great Lutheran hymn, and Martin Luther said, one word fails him.
Yep.
Christ.
And it comes, and it, you know, it thanks so much for that, Will, too. That's a wonderful point, because, you know, I was just going to, when you started in, I was going to ask you, let's take those two concepts, love and hate, and talk about in our love has always been a word that's been difficult to define by everyone. And now but it seems to me, I remember being younger, being a kid, hate is it wasn't a word that was hard to define. Love was, but now today, both of those words have been so warped, so twisted, that the way people use them, it's not what they are.
Have you noticed the word love means do whatever you want, I don't care, which is actually hate?
Hate, yep.
And hate is now, I'm taking a personal interest in your life and I want what's best for you. Oh, you hate me.
Yeah.
How dare you? You know, but again, go to Christ. Let's put things into perspective and let's see.
And it's no coincidence when John says, first Bible passage we learned when we were in Sunday school, God is love.
Well, and the second, God so loved the world.
Yes.
And what did he do? God so loved the world. He let everyone do whatever he wanted. No.
No.
God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son for you, right? For the world, so that he would cover every sin and that he would take him into himself, pay the penalty, and pronounce forgiveness.
And really, Christ is love, is God's love personified.
Absolutely.
And that's why we always come back to that. In a world that likes to talk about love, hate, depending upon where their worldview brings them from, we come back to what genuine love is in Christ.
And lest anybody thinks that, oh, we are down, and please, you know, I know some of our members are probably going to watch or listen to this and say, well, I guess Pastor Harley and Pastor Winsberger don't like the law, and that we're not saying that. The law has its purpose. The law shows how far we have fallen in the way we should treat one another, and especially the way that we should approach our Lord. But the law can't change who we are.
And the love. Or the law is not, the law for a Christian is not an obligation. We get to. It's not we have to. We get to, because we have been given forgiveness. We have been given the gift of heaven. We have been freed. Now we get to. It is no longer I have to. I get to.
Well, didn't Paul say that in 1 Corinthians 1? In the very beginning, he says that we have been transformed, right?
Yes.
Our minds have been transformed. Now, because of the Spirit, because of the gifts, because of the proclamation of the gospel, baptism, because of the water and the word working in us by the Spirit, and communion, coming and receiving the gifts of forgiveness and being reminded, yeah, I'm not as good as I thought I was, and I need this as the Lord has now encouraged me. I am being transformed to do what? Well, as the explanation in the small catechism to the third petition, to will and to want, right? By the Holy Spirit, I can now will and to want. I come to him by the Holy Spirit, and I will and want what he wants. And what does he want? He wants all people to come to the knowledge of Christ. He wants all people to be saved. He wants all people to have the great promises and inheritance that he has won for them by his blood. He wants all people to be unified, but to be unified not in saying, you do what you do, you do what you do, I'll do what I do, but to say, no, we will all do what God does, and we will all share what God shares, and we will all care about what God cares about, and love what God loves and hate what God hates, And what does God hate? He hates sin. Yeah? And so our worldview comes to the cross of Christ, and we look through that lens, and we say, is this good and God-pleasing? Would Jesus stand there and say, right on, yeah, that's great? Or would he look back and say, yeah, you know, I don't think that's very appropriate. And let that be our guide, right, as we approach the world. I would like to give an illustration. I've used it in my sermons before, so that some of you might be aware of it. But it was an illustration that I had run across some time ago, and it was just beautiful because it talks so much about this worldview. And it was back in, you know, with the redcoats, back when England used to wear the redcoats and used to march in those nice little rows, and the English soldiers were going off to war, and there was a pastor and his friend. They were standing there watching the soldiers walk down the street as everybody else was, and his friend had some different colored lenses that he was playing with his glasses, and he put down the red one. And he said, oh, you have to see this. This is just so cool. And so he handed his glasses to the pastor. And as the pastor looked through the red lenses, he saw every soldier wearing white coats. Every soldier was wearing white coats. And I've often used that illustration because when we look through the blood of Christ, right, we're all stained red with sin. We're all bleeding. When we look through the blood of Christ, we're all white, right? We're all forgiven.
Yes.
We're all forgiven. We're all under that banner of he has taken all of the world's sin onto himself. And so forgiveness is for all of us. And who are we sharing in this worldview? That's my
yes.
thought.
Thank you. I think once again, with this topic, I think we came full circle and we came back where we needed to be. In any discussion, in any religious discussion, any biblical teaching, we come back to Christ. And I want to thank you, Pastor Harley, for so thoroughly and beautifully doing that and leaving us firmly fixed on him as we have drawn to the end of our episode.
Well, again, you know, if we're not pointing to Christ, what's the point?
Yes.
Point? And so... for our friends, for our family, for our listeners, for those who really didn't like anything that we say, if you made it to the end, well, good on you. If you haven't, well, then you'll never know that we apologize if we offended you. So I guess that really doesn't fit. But we invite you to please, you know, because, you know, like we said in our first episode, we're all about the likes. It makes us feel better. So please like us. We're now on iTunes. You can find us there. We're on Google Podcast. You can find us there. We have a website through Fire FM, who hosts all of our podcasts, and both of our
Fireside FM.
Fireside FM. Sorry. Thank you very much. Fireside FM, as well as it'll probably be up on Colombe's Facebook page, and it will be up on Trinity in Winter, South Dakota's
and,
website.
And check out when you come to church, links and stuff are put in the bulletin in Colombe. I don't know about Trinity and Winter.
They're going to be in there too. So there should be more than enough ways for if you like it, to share it and really have a conversation, which Pastor Winston and I about Christ.
And I haven't talked with Pastor Harley about this yet, but those of you that, any of you that are interested in this, I think maybe in the future it would be fun maybe to bring in a parishioner in with our discussion here.
I have one and, in mind that would love to join us and ask a lot of questions.
Okay. Let me guess.
So, but yeah, you know, this isn't a conversation just for us. It's a conversation for pretty much everybody, because what is the point of this podcast? It's to reach out and say, what are we encountering in life, and how is we as Christians in Christ, how can we confront this, talk about this, and share what it is we believe and teach? So if you want to lead us out, you can give any final words.
Once again, thank you, Pastor Harley, and thank you people for tuning in and listening to us. When you see us on Sunday, you do really realize that we are the men who have faces that are really fit for podcasting. And thank you for being gracious. Thank you for listening. And give us some suggestions, too. If you have some questions, some things that you'd like to have some answers to, please, by all means, bring those to us. And we'd be happy to try to work them in into our programming as well.
You can also email us at castingnetspod@gmail.com.
Awesome. So they can awesome. Give them that email address again.
castingnetspod@gmail.com.
Thank you. That's all I've got.